we left off here on page 20 of your notes. We noticed that these verses constitute a survival text for Jewish believers living in the land of Israel. The Bible is our survival guide in the angelic conflict. Know the particulars and operate with regard to whatever moves you have to make, or keep making the right ones in order to ensure that you are in the best possible place spiritually in order to achieve the ultimate award that transcends all other rewards that God will bestow on faithful and positive believers through the ages who stood up and made it happen, as it were, in the circumstances that were thrust upon them. We don't choose our circumstances. God puts us in situations, and we are to pull out the Bible doctrine in our soul and apply to the situation. That's that simple. It's not complicated. Know what the directive will of God is and act on it. If it causes you to suffer, then you suffer. These believers will suffer. They won't. If they do what they're told, they won't have to go through being killed by the Antichrist, as many believers on earth will be killed by the Antichrist and will die with honor. I'll cite those for you in the Bible, maybe coming up in Revelation. These are the people that are popping into heaven right and left as a result of the genocide leveled against those believers, those people who will not take the mark of the beast, who say, "Hell no, I won't go. I ain't going to be there. I ain't doing it." Do what you got to do. And while all this is going on, you and I will be in heaven in connection with the throne room and the throne of God, watching Jesus Christ open up the seven seals of judgment over the earth. And he'll open those up, not all at once. He'll open them up as they transpire, and the events related to the seal transpires on earth. Quite a scene up there. You've got a heads up on that in Revelation, in the early chapter there, Revelation 5 and so forth. There are 25 thrones around the throne. 24 thrones around the throne. Just 24. The only people up there in resurrection bodies are the church age crowd. Now Moses and Elijah will come up at the midpoint of the trib. So there's that. It's called keeping track of everybody. Keeping track of the resurrections, the different ones. We've only got one so far, and that's Jesus Christ. Company A. We come in next, royal family, church age, identified, brought out of their graves, resurrected on their feet, and taken to the third heaven. And away we go. We're in the tribulation. Or the human race down here is. And Old Testament saints, tribulational martyrs, 144,000, they get resurrected at the outset of the millennium, at the end there. That accounts for everybody but the unbelievers. And they all get resurrected right before the Lord removes the original creation from existence. And they are brought before the white throne judgment. So that everybody will have gotten a resurrection body. But that's the great majority will be resurrected. See doctrine of order of resurrections. Don't confuse. And we're talking a resurrection to immortality and a resurrection body like Christ, not, you know, raising Lazarus from the dead or whatever. Brought back to the natural realm. Anyway, okay. I noted last time the reasons that will become apparent at the time. There's no room for the slightest delay or risk capture and martyrdom. 31. When the powers that be are preoccupied with the celebrations related to the killing of the two witnesses and the erection of the abomination of desolation, it is time to leave everything behind. Each and every believing Jew must get out of the country and get out fast. whatever means are provided for them to get out, transportation-wise or otherwise, they will be known at that time. Even packing a light bag to take along is risky. Time is of the utmost essence. Point 34. Pregnant women and women with nursing babies are at risk. Verse 17. Believers are to pray for good weather. Verse 18. Matthew adds, or on the Sabbath. Why the Sabbath? Because the Jews, on Saturday, if you travel to Israel, they shut everything down on Saturday. All the malls, all the gas stations, all the eating places, it's all shut down. Locked, nothing. And 6 o'clock on what we say on our Saturday, when 6 o'clock in the afternoon comes around, all the lights go on and they're back in business. So no going to the office buildings, nothing. Basically, it's all shut down. We saw that, we experienced that, pretty much all shut down. We experienced that firsthand. Yes, a hotel is still open. People got placed there. Just funny stuff. John saw the woman fleeing to places of refuge. Revelation 12. Let's go back there. A little bit of review. Never hurt anybody. Revelation 12, 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon at her feet. This is a configuration with regard to the relationship of the sun, the moon, and this constellation. The constellation is called Virgo, the Virgin. Clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. 12 tribes of Israel. The woman is Israel. And she was with child. The woman was with child. You say, why is this Mary? Mary's the mother of Jesus. She was the vehicle through which God brought this Jewish Messiah into the world. She's just, yeah, very important, but she's just a member of that society. That was her contribution. That's her contribution. To be engaged, betrothed, and agree to be impregnated supernaturally and provide the genetics for the body of Christ, the humanity of Christ, his body. A body you have made for me. So Mary, the young woman, very young woman, she agreed to Gabriel's offer. He's just the messenger. You want to do this? She says, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. And Joseph, who she was betrothed to, engaged to, he agreed to it too. And he protected her. Because here she is, shows up pregnant. And he kept her in isolation and away from all the dummies out there. She was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. This isn't referring to Mary's physical, how easy or difficult, whatever the birth event was for bringing the humanity of Jesus on the scene. It's not referring to that. It's referring to the angelic conflict and Satan knowing that, the Messiah was coming into the world. He had tried all through Old Testament times to wipe out the line of Christ. Because if he could, he wins. God doesn't have options. He can just go, we'll go over here with somebody else. It has to be this line of males, and then it became eventually Jewish, Hebrew, with Abraham, and then the line goes through David, so it's a messianic royal line. coming all the way down through all those males, mention those genealogies in your Bible, and Satan tried to wipe that out. There's some example in the Old Testament where it was down to hiding one baby in the temple. Hiding one baby boy in the temple. It was successful. He did not. He tried to contaminate the line of Christ in the Genesis 6 angelic invasion that came in. We'd say alien invasion. Came in and hooked up with all the prettiest females on the earth before the flood and produced the Nephilim, the giant race. Hybrids, half human or part human, DNA, part angelic. This all blows my mind. I don't know how angels can do that. I don't know how an angel can transform himself into, fill in the blank, something attractive, something scary, ugly, and so forth. So, I don't know how they do that. So, this is the angelic conflict. Then another sign appeared in heaven. A great red dragon. We do have 12 constellations, you know. And we have a serpent going around partway. All these things, this is pictures in the heavens, and this this information was revealed to people before the flood, so that, as one of the books I have, the gospel in the stars. You have fixed stars and you have the ones that are in motion. Alignments, producing signs. Who can read that? Those, God revealed it to these people. That's how the Magi, Egyptian astronomers and scholars, that's how they figured out the timing of the birth of Christ. They were watching his star and its movement. And its relationship, not to just the land of Israel, but to a spot on the land of Israel, a tiny little nothing, humanly speaking, village called Bethlehem, 10 miles south of Jerusalem. God likes to do things small and then make it really something really big out of it. Anybody can start off big with something big. He starts off Messiah, born to two members of the peasant class, the working class. Even though they had royal blood in their veins through David, there was no king in Israel of that kind. That had been set aside until their ultimate fulfillment came on the scene. A great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now the 10 horns are on the 7th head. They're not distributed among them. And those are the 7. Those are the 7 kingdoms of antiquity, 6 kingdoms of antiquity, 6, started with Egypt, Assyria, Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar, Persia, Greece, Rome. That's 6. And when the book of Revelation was written, Rome was in its heyday. Number 6. Number 7, the 7th head, comes into play in modern times with a revived Roman Empire, and the Antichrist will head up a 10-nation confederation, and I am assuming it will be European countries. On Europe proper, like France and Germany and Spain and so forth. Italy, Greece. And on his heads were 7 diadems. A diadem indicates the right to rule. And his tail, see, this is a history of the red dragon. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. This is not referring to the stars up there in the sky. This is referring to Satan. The tail of the dragon is an instrument of power. Certain animals have power in their tails. And so he swept away a third of the stars of heaven. One third of all angels changed their allegiance from God to Satan under when he offered them his revolutionary manifesto that we will take over from God and rule. And one third of all angels went with him, and the other two thirds, no. They were all tempted. And the dragon stood before the woman. So we roll down to time, okay? We roll all the way specifically down to the time of right after the birth of Christ, and stood before the woman who was about to give birth. He's waiting for an opportunity to wipe out this baby. He wants this baby dead. He wins. So here's this couple, a lowly couple with a baby. And the Magi come to visit a year and 5 months after the birth of our Lord, bringing gifts. We call them Iranians today. They're Persians. The Bible calls it Persia. Anyway, they travel the 500 miles on camel or donkey, whatever, four-legged animal, all the way across, and they got there when Mary and Joseph and Jesus were living in a little house, little nondescript house in a little nondescript village, because they're watching the sign. And before they went there, they go and tell Herod. See, they're dignitaries from another country, VIPs. Go there, talk to Herod. And Herod's paranoid. He doesn't want any kind of rivals. He was paranoid. He'd kill anybody to secure and keep power, curry any kind of favor with the Romans. So when he heard that the king of the Jews, because this is in the air, was born, and the Magi go on down and worship Jesus Christ, get down and worship before him, hand their expensive gifts, which the family was going to need, by the way, because the angel, but because they get their gifts, and the angel told the Magi, don't go back to Herod. Because Herod said, oh, come back by. When you find him, come back by and tell me. I want to see him too. There's your red dragon. So he can send his men down there and kill this baby. So Jesus came on the scene with someone wanting to kill him. A human. And so the Magi are told, go another way. Don't go by him. And the angel said to the Holy Family, go to Egypt. Go into exile. And when the time's ripe, we'll call you back up out of there. So the only place out of country that I know, well, there might be one other. The only place out of country I know Jesus and his humanity went was Egypt. Now that high mountain that Satan took him up on, I don't know. That might have been out of country too. I mean, if Satan's going to take you up to a mountain, you can take one near, you can take one far, bring it back. No problem. So, during their time in Egypt, the Herod died. And they said, you can go back now, but don't go to Bethlehem. Go to your hometown of Nazareth up in the north. I'm going to put some distance between you and Jerusalem and all that. God knows what he's doing, moving the pieces around. I know in my life, this is an absolute surety. God knows what he's doing, moving the pieces around. I'm not here by some accident. I mean here. Not an accident. Just be in the will of God and be prayerful and do what's right and do what you know is right to do. You'll be okay. Get your eyes off of people and other people around here that have bailed. what they've done. Don't let it affect you spiritually. Please. And then we move on from this. And she gave birth to a male child. Satan was successful in snuffing out Jesus. He ought to take another tactic. But he gets checkmated. But it never stops the dummy. He's insane. And he's an insane genius. Who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. This little baby. His destiny. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. What do you think that is? The ascension of Christ. Okay? And there was a war in heaven. This comes back to the midpoint of the trib. Trust me on this. An angelic Star Wars between Satan's angels, Satan and his angels, and the new head of the other angels, Michael. One Michael. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. I wonder if people on earth are going to see the effects of this fight. I mean, really. Light flashing, whatever. We'll have to see. But there's this angelic war going on. See, we know now that Satan has access to the third heaven under certain restricted circumstances. He appears there periodically to run you and I down. Oh, well, look what so-and-so did. And they claim to be a Christian and positive and all that. Just the usual slander mess that goes on. And every time he gets his case dismissed. God lets Satan go to heaven and appear before him and try to trash believers? You bet. You might even had your name might even popped up. But the Lord dismisses it. He's our defense attorney. There's a lot to learn about the third heaven and the scenery up there. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. They are swept from the heavens, cleaned out, forced down to the earth. No access up. Bingo. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole cosmos. He is thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. This is the third fall of Satan amongst five falls of Satan. The first, he fell from sinless perfection. The second, he's canned and he's unceremoniously booted out of the throne room. Jesus mentioned that. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He wasn't just asked to walk out the door with a pink slip. He was booted out like a bouncer. He was thrown out. Okay? That's the second fall. The third fall is at the midpoint of the tribulation where he no longer has access to the places that he would normally haunt. Or his angels. They're going down. But all at once, step by step. His angels were thrown down. Now I heard a voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, see, he's accuser of us, I just said that, didn't I? Has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. He dismisses the case. Case dismissed. Yeah, he, she, did, whatever. Name the sin. They're one of my children. Case dismissed. They're covered. And because of the word of their testimony, they did not... And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil's come down to you, having great wrath. He's not in a good mood in the middle of the tribulation. He's been checkmated on one thing after another, but he has to keep trying, doesn't he? That's his nature. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now, this indicates a special deliverance. That kind of had slipped my mind, but now it's back. I'm back with it. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman. So this doesn't look to me like people traversing across country. I mean, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place. I called it an airlift. Maybe it's an angelic airlift. I don't know. We have to get there and see. Angels are fully capable of this, by the way. That's not even a problem. He told a bunch of angels to go down there, and these people are supposed to meet at this location, and we're going to haul you out of here. And here's it's so o'clock, it's so and so time of day. You be there. You be there. And the angels will, apparently, I said helicopters, I don't know. But the two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished. There's my proof that she's got to be fed and watered. She'll be nourished for a time, that's 1 year, times, that's 2 year, and half time, half a year. There's your little code for 3.5 years from the presence of the serpent. So he wants to kill her. She's there now. Okay, what are we going to do? And the serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. This isn't literal water. This is an invasion. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river, which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children. She's got other children that aren't in a hiding place, who keeps the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Fascinating, isn't it? Where was I at here? Sorry for just a minute. Okay, did Revelation 12. All right, sorry, 39. See Daniel 11:41, where the Antichrist entering the land, but areas in Edom, Moab, and Ammon will be safe from his reach. That's the areas specified for her protection. This mid-tribulation flight should not be confused with a call to abandon Israel on the part of Jewish Christians, as the legions of Titus were on the march towards Jerusalem in 68 AD. They had, those were church-age Jewish Christians who, when they saw the sign, and the sign was, and the word would get around, and the revolt going on in Israel, and the Roman marshaling of the legions, news traveled. That's the key, people. Let's pack and let's get out of Israel and relocate somewhere in the Gentile world. Antichrist's first big entrance into the holy city will not be to conquer it, but to sign a treaty with Israel's leadership, establish them as their Messiah. Daniel 9:27, I'll mark this, and I promise that's where we will pick up next time we meet. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.